Good morning, church family. So happy to see you all here. You're so welcome. We just want to welcome our online guests as well, wherever you're watching us from. We know that you will be blessed. Can I invite you to stand? I see some bokkies as well. We've got the green and gold for tonight. Let's support the box. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for you. Through what you did for us on the cross, we are saved, Lord. We can have peace. We are in right standing with God. Thank you that you are our mediator. Thank you that we can put our trust in you. You are faithful, Lord. You are always there when we need you, when we feel overwhelmed. You're always there to comfort us, Lord, that we can enjoy your peace in moments of tribulations. Lord, we just want to lift up your name today. We want to sing your name. We want to magnify you. We want to sing hallelujah, Lord, because there is no God like you. There will be no God like you. We want to declare that. We want to sing your name. We want to praise you, Lord, for everything that you do for us. So grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's praise him. Right, I'll sing one part and you sing after me. Let's go. taste of freedom.
No one.
Who else can heal all our sins and diseases?
No one.
And who else can walk on the water?
No one.
And who else can answer by fire?
You never let me down. You're faithful. Sing. like a battlefield. My heart is overcome by fear, and hope seems like a ship that's lost at sea. My enemies on every side, and I'm tempted to run and hide. Your gentle whisper reaches out to me. Holds me when I'm uncertain. Peace that passes understanding. When the whole wide world is crashing down, I fall to my knees and breathe your peace. Fiery arrows whistling, the terror of the night sets in, but I can feel your angels all around. I am resting underneath the shelter of your mighty wings. Promises are where my hope is found. Calls me when I'm uncertain. Sweet peace passes understanding. When the whole wide world is crashing down, I fall to my knees and breathe your peace.
Breathe your peace.
We thank you, Lord, for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, that we cannot understand it, but we can experience it in our hearts. And so, Lord, we choose to exalt you in this moment, Lord, that we can be still and know that you are God, that you are Lord, that you are above the circumstances of life, Lord, above anything we might face, Jesus, you are above it. And so, Lord, we choose to exalt you this morning. Lord, that you are greater than all. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people say, amen. Good morning, Nisner Vineyard family. You can greet the person next to you. A big thank you to the worship and production team. Awesome. And so my name is Mike. And so I was on my way to the Rugby World Cup in France. And so I was going to referee there, but I decided I needed to take a detour. I heard that in Knysna, here at Knysna Vineyard, there's a lot more happening. That it's a lot bigger and it's a lot better. And so all I want to say is you guys are in the right place this morning. And so people told me that the fans in France can't compete with the worshipers here at Knysna Vineyard. That the message that's given is transforming lives week in and week out. And that it's a family of multi-generations, both of old and of young. And finally, and so I have the privilege of doing the offering message with you this morning. And so there's a few things I've learned on the rugby field. And so one of them is the teams that have been in it for themselves, the players that have been selfish, are most of the time the teams that have lost at the end of the day. Where on the opposite end, the teams that have been there to serve each other, that have been there to work together as a team, are most of the time the winners. And so if you want to be a winner today, it means you give in. And so it's found in a scripture in Acts 20, verse 35. It says, "You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive." It is more blessed to give than to receive. And so what does winning look like? It looks like giving. Jesus said that those who are last will be first. And he was speaking that in the context of serving. And so if you want to be first in life, it means you giving. It means you serving those around you. And so I believe as a church, we are winners. And it's for the very reason that we are givers. And can I get an amen? Amen. Come on. And so if you'd like to give, there's a number of ways found in the bulletin. And there's also offering boxes at the back if you've got cash. And so I see the time, so I better run. Otherwise, I might miss my flight. But I'll see you on the other side. And so make sure to be waving the SA flag proudly. And enjoy the message by Yanu.
Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to be with you in church this morning. My name is Yanu, for those of you who don't know me. I'm one of the assistant pastors here at the church, and I have a privilege of sharing the word this morning. But before we get into that, just some things I want to mention is, first of all, tonight we're going to show the rugby here at church on the big screen. Kickoff is 5:45, so if you want to come and watch with us, you're welcome to join us for that. So on that note, everyone who's doing the Financial Peace University course, it's usually 6 p.m., but this afternoon we'll start at 4:30. So we'll start that course at 4:30, and then straight after we'll watch the rugby together. But everyone is welcome to come and join us. I see many came prepared already with their Springbok jerseys, so that's great. And then to all the gents, men, I really want to encourage you to join us for our men's day. You've been invited now by Nas Botha and Pieter Steph de Tooy. I don't know how you can say no. And Nas Botha is also going to be one of our guest speakers. He will be here in person. We're also going to have Bishop Derek Lindley, who will share a great message on biblical manhood. So, men, it's really going to be a blessing to you. I really want to encourage you to come, bring some mates with. You know, I've had some men ask me, "Oh, no, I don't really like rugby. Can I still come?" I said, "Of course." You know, and other guys have said, "Well, I don't really like games, but can I come and watch the rugby and just enjoy it?" I said, "Of course." So, there will be something for you. And even if you don't like the games, you can win nice prizes. Springbok jerseys and all kinds of really nice prizes. But if you don't like standing a chance to win a prize and you don't like rugby, we have burgers available. Really nice burgers. So if you don't like either of that and you don't like burgers, we have a ministry team here at the end of the service. That's just a joke. I'm just kidding. I like those things. If you don't, it's fine. But man, it's going to be a wonderful day together. We're really excited and we're believing for hundreds of men to join us on the day. So it's going to be wonderful. But yeah, it's also exciting this morning. We're starting with a brand new series called Let Peace Rule. So I'm sure you've been blessed, like me, with a previous series on grace. Pastor Steve, Mama D, Alfred, everyone shared great messages on grace. I just felt, you know, in this series that it was such a fresh word in season for all of us about the grace of God. And I'm sure we all were edified and blessed through it. But today we're starting a new series on peace. And we're calling it Let Peace Rule. And I believe it's going to be a big blessing to you. So in Colossians 3 verse 15, and this will be our theme scripture throughout the series, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. So the word let there means to give permission or opportunity to, and it also means to allow. So why is that important? It's important because we need to allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. It's not something that's going to be automatic in life. It's not something that God is going to force on us. We need to give the peace of God the opportunity to and allow it to rule in our hearts. And I believe through this series, it will help us to allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. But you know, in the old covenant, God revealed himself through his names, through redemptive names. And we find seven redemptive names of God in the old covenant. And one of them, one of the seven, is Jehovah Shalom. It means the Lord, your peace. So if God calls himself the Lord, your peace, I'm sure you would agree that he values his peace. And he wants us to experience the peace that comes from him. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus back in 2012, if I had to use one word to describe what I experienced after giving my life to Jesus, it would be peace. I also experienced joy. I also experienced love like I've never experienced it before. But it was really the peace of God that made me feel like I was in heaven. And you know, God wants us to experience his peace in our lives. And that's why one of his names is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, your peace. But this morning I want to talk about two types of peace. Two types of peace that God has available for us and two types of peace that we can walk in and experience and have in life. And the first one is peace with God. We have peace with God as believers because of Jesus. In Romans 5 verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice we have peace with God because of our faith in Jesus. We don't have peace with God because of our good works. We don't have peace with God because of something we did or didn't do. It's because of Jesus and us putting our trust in what he did for us. So see, you know, people will say, well, are good works still important? Absolutely. But don't make the mistake of doing good works in order to try and get peace with God. Do good works because you already have peace with God through what Jesus did for you. You know, and isn't it wonderful to know today that we can confidently know and say, I have peace with God because of Jesus. Even if I've made mistakes, even if I've sinned a lot in life, even if I have a terrible past, I can have peace with God because of Jesus and what he did for me. The Bible also says in Colossians 1 from verse 19 to 22, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Isn't that good news? You know, we have peace with God. We can stand before him without a single fault, even if we still have faults in our lives, because we stand before him through Jesus and what Jesus did for us. But I love how this passage reminds us that we were once far away from God. We were once his enemies. Because sometimes we don't appreciate and value the good news enough because we don't know how bad the bad news was. And see, the bad news was really bad. We were enemies of God. But because of Jesus, he has brought us close now. So close that we now have peace with God. And what that means is we can stand before him without any fault. We can approach his presence with boldness. We can run to him after we've made a mistake. We don't have to run away from him because we have peace with him through what Jesus did for us. That means we have the righteousness of God in Christ. And you see, this is true for every born-again believer, but it's also important for us to believe this truth, to be mindful of this truth, to be righteousness conscious opposed to sin conscious. So many people are more aware of their sin and their shortcomings than they are what Jesus did for them. But we have peace with God and we can focus on who we are in Christ. Isn't that good news? And then in Luke 2 verse 14, this was when Jesus was born and angels were proclaiming and singing the following. And we find it in Luke 2 verse 14, where they said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." So one of the things they proclaimed was peace on earth. Let me ask you, is there complete peace among people? Definitely not. If you said yes, you probably lived in a cave the last few years. There's wars, there's rumors of war. There's not really peace on earth in that sense. As believers, we can have peace among each other because we have Jesus. But there's not complete peace on earth. So they weren't proclaiming peace among men. They were proclaiming peace from God toward man. See, we're not enemies anymore. There's nothing that separates us anymore. We now have peace with God because of what Jesus did. And it's all because of Jesus and what he did for us. Let's put our complete trust and faith in what he did. Ephesians 2 verse 13 to 14 says, "But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God," the bad news again, "but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ," the good news. "For Christ himself has brought peace to us." You see, peace with God is relational. And if you've made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you have peace with God. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. But choose to believe it so that it can affect how you live and how you view God. Because of Jesus, we have peace with God. But then the second type of peace I want to talk about this morning, and I want to focus a little bit more on this one, and that is the peace of God. And you might be thinking, well, what is the difference? You know, there's peace with God and the peace of God, and I'm going to explain the difference now. But in Philippians 4, from verse 6 to 7, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God." You'll remember we just saw peace with God, but now Paul is saying the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there's peace with God that we have as believers, but there's also the peace of God. And the peace of God is something that we can experience in life. See, peace with God is relational, but the peace of God is experiential. It's something God wants us to experience. And all Christians, all born-again Christians, have peace with God. But it is possible to have peace with God and yet not experience the peace of God. And Jehovah Shalom, the Lord your peace, means we can have peace with God, complete peace because of Jesus, but it also means we can experience the peace that comes from God. See, we shouldn't just settle for having peace with God when we can also experience the peace of God. This is not something that God wants us to just be aware of or just talk about. It's something that he wants us to experience in life. And in verse 7, where the word surpasses, in the Greek, where the word means superior, it carries the idea that nothing can compare to it. And isn't it true when it comes to the peace of God? There's no other peace. In fact, there's nothing that can compare to it. I was just thinking about it earlier when we worshiped God together, when we experience His tangible presence. We always experience peace when we experience His presence. And there's nothing that can compare with it. It's like heaven on earth when we experience God's peace. But that word means there's nothing that can compare to it. And then interestingly, the word guard there was a word they used to describe soldiers standing at the gate of a city and choosing who to allow in or not. And this is the same word that was used when it says the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So what is that telling us? It's telling us that the peace of God can help us to say yes to the right thoughts and no to the wrong thoughts. See, the peace of God can help us to say yes to thoughts that are godly, that are true, that are in line with the word. And it can also help us to resist thoughts that aren't in line with the word. When a thought comes that says, you'll never experience God's provision like other people, or you'll always fail, you won't get healed of this sickness or thing that you're battling, you can say no to that thought when it's not in line with the word. And maybe you've heard this before, but there's a great man of God that used to say, you know, you can't stop all thoughts from running through your head and your mind. Just like you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from making a nest on top of your head. In the same way, we'll have some thoughts run through our mind, negative thoughts, maybe even lies, but we can choose. Are we going to allow that to take root in our minds or hearts? Or are we going to allow the peace of God to say no to those thoughts? And only yes to thoughts that line up with the word of God. But can you see why it's so important to experience God's peace? Why it's so important to walk in the peace of God? Because it can help us with that. It can guard our hearts and minds. And then in the NLT, it translates verse 6 and 7 as don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. What is it saying? Worry about nothing and pray about everything. What do we sometimes do? We worry about everything and we pray about nothing. It's telling us, don't worry about anything. Choose instead to pray about everything. And dear ones, I want to encourage you this morning. Don't view prayer as your last resort. View it as your first response. That's what it is. Have you heard people say, all we can do now is pray? Well, if that is you, good for you. You're going to make it. Prayer is powerful. But this is telling us, don't worry about anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how dark it is. Don't worry about it. It's not going to help. Choose not to worry about it. Instead, pray about it. Then it goes on to say, tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Now you'll see as we read verse 7, everybody desires verse 7. We all want what verse 7 says. But notice in verse 7 where it starts with the word then. That means only if you apply what verse 6 says will you experience verse 7. So if you want verse 7, do verse 6. Don't just hear verse 6, do verse 6. Then you will experience verse 7, which says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Isn't it amazing? You know, he's saying the peace of God is too great to understand, but we can experience it. It's something that we can experience in life that's too great to understand. Isn't that wonderful? Yet God has made it available to us. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, but in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So it's interesting, I've had chats with people, and some of them would major on the part where Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. And they'll just talk about how bad things are, and you know, even Jesus said this will happen, and things are terrible. And as they say it, I think to myself, quote the rest of a verse. You know, that's not the only thing Jesus said. But then I've also heard other people talk about all the good things and how everything will go well with you and you'll never face a problem. And as they say that, I think to myself, that's not what Jesus said. So we need to find a balance. It's true. Jesus did say in this world, we will have some tribulation. We will face problems. We live in a fallen world. But the good news is he said we can be of good cheer. We can rejoice because he has already overcome the world. And what did he also say? He said, I've spoken these things to you so that in me you may have peace. Sometimes we try and find our peace in our bank balance. Sometimes we try and find our peace in how healthy our relationships are. But we need to find our peace in him and him alone. Now, we're already in him relationally as believers, but we should also be in him in the sense that we're intimate with him, that we spend time with him, that we focus on him. And as we do, the byproduct will be that we'll experience the peace that comes from him. God wants us to experience his peace, but it's found in him. C.S. Lewis said, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because there is no such thing. If you're looking to experience God's peace anywhere outside of God, it's not available. It's not possible. It's only in him. And then in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16, Paul says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation, the Lord be with you all. Notice what he says. The Lord of peace give you peace at all times. You know, the Greek word there for all means all. It's all times. Not just the pleasant times, not just the good times. All times and in every situation. You see, when we talk about the peace of God, we're not talking about the absence of problems. We're not talking about no challenges or no tough times. We live in a fallen world. But see, it's possible for some of you today to face the biggest crisis of your life in the natural realm and yet still experience the peace of God. See, Paul is saying we can experience the peace of the God of peace at all times and in every situation. And that is what God wants for us. You know, in John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And interestingly, the word leave there in Greek means to permanently release or to impart. So what does that tell us? It tells us when Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, he was saying, my peace I give to you permanently. I want it to be with you for the rest of your life. Not just in the good times, not just after you gave your life to him, you know, the honeymoon period with Jesus. We can experience his peace constantly. He gave it to us permanently. It's available to us and we can experience it. But it's very difficult to experience the peace of God if our focus is not on the right thing. If our focus is not on the God of peace. And Isaiah 26 verse 3 tells us, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. God will keep us in perfect peace when? When our mind is fixed on him. When our focus is steadfast on him. And that's why the word, reading the Bible, is so important. You'll remember earlier we read the theme scripture for this series, Colossians 3 verse 15, which says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Do you know what the very next verse says? Colossians 3 verse 16. Right after he said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. He said, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. See, because Paul knew for you to allow the peace of God to rule in your heart, the word of Christ should also dwell richly in you. How can it dwell richly in you if you don't spend time in it? If you don't meditate on it? And see, spending time in God's word reminds us of God's promises. It reminds us of God's goodness. And it helps us to keep our minds stayed on him. And for some of us, it's very difficult to experience peace because we focus on all the problems out there. But just like it's difficult to experience peace when you focus on problems, it's also very difficult to not experience peace if your focus is on God. And you know what? What is so good about all of us is if your focus is not on God and His promises, you can change. You can shift your focus and you can choose to look to Him. And the Bible says when we do so, God will keep us in perfect peace. In the Passion, it says, perfect, absolute peace. Is that your desire? Perfect, absolute peace. It says that type of peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. We can experience perfect, complete peace, the peace of God, the peace that comes from Him. And the peace of God has many benefits. When we walk in the peace of God, we can experience so many benefits in life. And I just want to remind you of some of them this morning. The first one is better decision making. How many of you have made a wrong decision because you made a decision when you were anxious? You know, don't raise your hand, but most of us, I did too. You know, walking in God's peace can help us to make the right decision in life. It can help us to hear God's voice. You know, many times when our hearts are anxious, it's sometimes difficult to sense the Lord's leading, to hear what He says. He can make it clear, He can shout on the inside, and it can still be difficult to hear what He says. But when your heart is at peace, the Holy Spirit can just whisper, and you will hear what He says. See, it's so important for us to trust in Him, to look to Him, and it can help us to make better decisions in life. The second one is strengthen relationships. You know, when your heart is at peace and you walk in the peace of God, you know, the way you treat others will be better. The way you act will be better. Because we don't treat people because of who they are. We treat people the way we do because of who we are. And we can't control them, but we can control us. Walking in peace can help us to treat people better, especially those who we love the most. Thirdly, it will produce an increased resilience in our lives. Sometimes we need a toughness because life can be tough. And we need an attitude that says, I'll never give up. I won't quit, especially if God told us to do something. What will help us to have that resilience? The peace of God. And then lastly, it will improve your physical health. You know, the Bible teaches that the key to a healthy body and even financial provision is a prosperous soul. And one of the characteristics of a prosperous soul is it's a soul that is experiencing the peace of God. And these are just, you know, some examples. There are many benefits that we can experience when we walk in God's peace. And I believe walking in the peace of God is not only beneficial, it's also important. Because in Mark chapter 4, Jesus taught, you know, a great parable. He used seed and ground as an example, and the seed represented the word of God, and the ground represented our hearts. And Jesus taught that there were four different types of ground, and only one of them produced fruit. But others all had things in it that hindered the seed from growing and producing fruit. And in the third type of ground there that Jesus talked about, it was better than the other two, but there were still some things in that ground that hindered the seed from growing and producing. And one of those things Jesus said that he can hinder the word, the seed of a word, from producing transformation in our lives is the worries of life. And I'm not sharing my opinion with you today. I'm telling you what Jesus said. You can read it in Mark chapter 4. But if you have worry in your life, it can actually hinder God's word from producing fruit in your life. Think about that. You can come here on a Sunday and hear a great word. You can read the Bible every day, and it will definitely help you. It can produce good things in your life to a degree, but it will also be limited. But you know, the amazing thing is in that fourth type of ground, the seed was just planted and it produced. See, when we get free from the worries of life and our hearts become good ground for the word, it can produce effortless change in our lives. The only effort will be to plant the seed of the word in our hearts. meditating on it, reading it, spending time in it. And as we do, it will produce effortless change. Can you see being free from worry and walking in peace is very beneficial, but it's also important. And I want to give you a challenge today. I want you to do a peace check. You know, sometimes we go to the doctor and we do a health check. And sometimes that's beneficial. It's good to do those things. Sometimes we can feel healthy, but something might be wrong. It's good to sometimes do a health check. But it's also important to sometimes just do a peace check. Because sometimes we can get so used to worry that we think it's normal. And we think we're walking in peace when we're not. So do your peace check today. And I want to ask you, if you had to rate your peace, how much you're experiencing God's peace at the moment, from 1 to 10, where would you rate it? Think about it. If 10 is perfect, complete peace. And if you rate anything below 10, then there's more available for you. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are looking like at the moment, that has nothing to do with the peace of God. If your mind is focused on Him, you can experience a perfect 10 when it comes to the peace of God. But do it regularly and ask yourself, how am I doing when it comes to the peace of God? Experiencing the peace that comes from Him. I want to close with this thought today. But in Ephesians 6, Paul talked about the armor of God. And he says there we need to put on the whole armor of God. And it's interesting, Paul used a spiritual truth and connected each spiritual truth with a weapon that a Roman soldier used. For example, he says the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. And when he came to shoes, the shoes that a Roman soldier had, he says that is peace. That is like us experiencing peace. He says in verse 15 there, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. And I believe he specifically chose to connect peace to the shoes that a Roman soldier used. And it's interesting, you know, a Roman soldier had shoes and it had two parts. The shoe had two parts in it, and it had these killer spikes underneath, but it also had greaves that protected the legs and the feet of a soldier. And why that was so important was because many times they would walk through places that was quite thorny and rocky and not ideal. But when they had those shoes on, they could walk through a very rocky or thorny place and yet not even realize it. Now, why did Paul choose to use the shoes of a Roman soldier when he talked about peace? I believe he was trying to tell us, when you put on peace, when you walk in the peace of God, when you experience the peace of God, you will face some thorny things in life. You will go through some tribulation. Jesus promised it, but you can go through it and it won't affect you. You can go through it and sometimes not even realize it. You know, that's why Paul said, put on peace for shoes so that you will be fully prepared. Prepared for what? The challenges of life. The peace of God will help you to overcome. I'm not saying to you today that we'll never be sad or mad in life. We live in a fallen world. But I am saying we can experience the peace of God. And because the peace that we can experience is the very peace of God, we can experience heaven in our hearts. The same peace that makes heaven wonderful and that makes heaven heaven is the very peace that we have on the inside of us. And see, you might go out and it won't take much for you to realize that on the outside of you, we're not in heaven yet. You know, all you need to do is open your eyes and live and you'll realize we're not in heaven yet because we live in a fallen world. But on the inside, when you walk in the peace of God, you can have a taste of what heaven is going to be like. Because heaven's peace is inside of you. So let's thank God today for Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Let's thank Him that we can have peace with Him because of Jesus. But let's not, you know, choose to only settle for that when we can also experience the peace of God, when we can walk in it. Amen. And can I ask you to please stand for a moment? And as you stand, I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, I want to give you an opportunity to do a peace check. But I also want to give you an opportunity to give your cares to Jesus now, to cast your cares unto Him. You can choose to do that. You can say, Lord, I've been holding on to this worry, this care, and I'm done with that now. I'm giving it to you. Do you know that Jesus can take much better care of you than you can? I just think some of you are concerned about your children. And I just think Jesus wants you to know He loves your children more than you do. Even that care you can give to Him. Trust Him to do what you can't. Whatever your care is. I just think some of you are not carrying these big, heavy worries, but little worries. And Jesus is saying, give that to me as well. He doesn't just want the big worries. He wants all the worries because He cares about you. He loves us. And He knows how to take care of us. Thank you, Lord. Give those worries to Him. And if you haven't been experiencing a perfect 10 when it comes to the peace of God, that can change. Change your focus and find your peace in Him. Not in anything outside of Him. Not even good things. Find your peace in Him. And if you came today and you're not sure that you have peace with God, maybe you know now that God made it available to you, you know that Jesus died for you, but you haven't made the decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity now. I'm not going to invite you to the front, but I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand and I'm going to lead you into a prayer. So if that is you, if you say, I want to have peace with God, I want to know Jesus, please raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. I'm going to invite you. Thank you for, I see your hand. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to just repeat after me, and I'm just going to ask our church family to join them. And let's just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. Today I choose to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you. I want to know you. And I want to belong to you. And I thank you now that I can boldly say that I have peace with God. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for being our God of peace. The Lord who is our peace, Lord. Thank you so much for sending Jesus. Thank you for people saying yes to you today for the first time. We rejoice with them. And we also thank you that we can experience the peace of God in life. Lord, whenever we drift, whenever we experience anything but a perfect 10, remind us, Lord, that more is available. Because the peace that comes from you is already on the inside of us. Help us to focus on you. Help us to look to you. Help us to allow your peace to rule in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you gave your life to Jesus today for the first time, I really want to ask you to just grab a book. We have a little booklet there. It's called What Now? At the back where it will help you in your journey. If you want prayer, we will have a wonderful prayer team here in the front. And they would love to pray with you, agree with you in prayer. You're welcome to join them. But thank you so much for coming today. You are highly favored and deeply loved. God bless you.